This is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is the man behind the citywire.com, Michael Tilley. Michael, it has been a spring break week, has it not?
It's been a wet spring break week. I mean, did the legislature know it was going to do this when they set this week?
Oh, that's right.
Shouldn't they know better? Can we blame this on them?
You know, that's right, because I guess this is the second or third year where the entire state has been on spring break.
Correct.
And I don't know about you, but we've noticed here that things have definitely been a bit slower, a bit more laid back in the news world.
Yes, it's not near as many press releases coming to the inbox. A lot of the people we try to track down for stories are out, so it has slowed down.
There have been a few things. Let's start with the fact that there have been some new national tourism numbers, and they somewhat reflect what we know about our region and our state. Tourism seems to be up.
Yes, sir. You know, fortunately, we have a sector of the economy we can talk about in a positive manner. And we've talked before about the gains in Northwest Arkansas and in the Fort Smith area and statewide in terms of tourism. And we've tracked hospitality tax collections which are up in all areas. For example, in Northwest Arkansas, if you combine Bentonville, Rogers, Springdale, Fayetteville, and Salem Springs, their hospitality tax collections were up 6.3% last year. Now, granted, a lot of that was in Bentonville with the Crystal Bridges. But Wednesday morning, the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis reported that total tourism spending in the U.S. in 2011 grew at a 3.5% rate. Especially in the fourth quarter of last year, tourism growth in the tourism sector was up 4.6% compared to 2.6% in the same period of 2010 and just 1% in the same period in 2009. So hopefully, Kyle, we're seeing nationwide a return in the tourism sector, which really fell off in 2008 for not only our part of the world, but nationwide was the last year in which there was a healthy tourism sector in the U.S., and so that is now returning.
I'm no economist, this just in, but can we make any this is dangerous work, but can the fact that tourism up, does that suggest any ripples that it's up because of this, or because it's up, something might?
Well, I know where you're going, and I'm not an economist either, but what I read from people who completed the courses and got their little diplomas on their wall suggests that this is it shows two things primarily. Consumers are a little freer with their spending, which, again, we all need. You know, consumer spending drives a majority of economic growth. And the other thing it shows is that businesses are beginning to free up their travel budgets and let people go to conferences and that type of thing. So both of those are good signs in terms of people having and businesses having more confidence in the economy.
Speaking of business, the Arkansas Chamber of Commerce and the Associated Industries of Arkansas joined with a brief the argument that was in front of the Supreme Court about the National Health Care Plan. And as I read it, it's what is called an amicus brief. And now that I have gotten in trouble with economists, I'll get in trouble with the legal profession. But it seems like the brief was more about, please decide this as soon as possible so employers know what is or isn't the law.
Correct. And I had the opportunity to visit with Randy Zook yesterday. He's president and CEO of the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and the Associated Industries of Arkansas. And he stressed repeatedly that they were not setting an opinion on the need for the health care law or whether it should have been passed. What they're saying is, look, there are serious and valid legal questions about this that remain unanswered, and for the business community, we just need to know one way or the other because, you know, they have budgeting decisions to make. You know, how much do we put back for insurance? What do we not put back for insurance? Who can, you know, how do we treat employees going forward? So they need to know those things, and they're hoping that this, which is scheduled for March 26th, 28th, hearing at the U.S. Supreme Court, I mean, they're hoping that they'll get an answer as soon as possible to that. But there are 14 other chambers and business groups around the country who are essentially saying, look, just rule on this thing already.
I know the United States Marshals Museum has been waiting for a while to get this U.S. Marshals coin out that could mean up to $5 million for the museum. We're almost there.
Correct. We're just waiting on a president's signature. I can't imagine that that would be a problem. But
not, especially in an election year. No, I don't
right,
think so.
Who knows? Of course, you know, now we got in trouble with economists, now then lawyers, now we may get in trouble with political pundits, but I can't imagine Obama not signing that document. But yes, yesterday the U.S. House of Representatives agreed to an amended version of the coin, which could raise up to $5 million. The money, however, can only be used to for exhibits, maintenance, that type of thing. It can't be used to build the facility. And so that's still a struggle we have, or the Marshals Service, the Marshals Museum, I should say, has in terms of raising money. I think they've raised around $10 million, maybe a little less. Their goal is about $50 million to get this thing going. But hopefully, I mean, this will get
More conversation started,
yeah,
perhaps.
More conversation. And I know I've talked to Jim Dunn with the Marshals Museum in the past, and he's talked about how having this confirmed is something that when they go talk to people to raise money, they can say, look, you know, this is legitimate. Congress has even authorized this type of support. So that hopefully this will add, I'm not going to say that this will create the momentum necessary to finish the job, but this is just another tool that they have in their toolbox to help sell this thing.
And finally, if spring break statewide does make things slow down, you know what's coming. Once everyone's back to work, the kids are back to school, we're going to start looking at some elections, especially city elections that may not happen until November, but the filings are going to begin. And things are going to start, momentum toward that is going to start to build.
Well, exactly. And it's already building here in Fort Smith. And I considering some of the political, considering the political environment we've had in Fort Smith over the 1% prepared food tax and a few other things, I suspect this will be a rather interesting period. We have four of the wards are up for reelection. Ward 1 potentially has a three-way race. Ward 4, City Director George Katsavas is being challenged by businessman John Cooley. He's a newcomer. Don Hutchings, current City Director, is not running again for Ward 3. Sal Salamone is announced for that. But it's really picking up. And, Kyle, I'm surprised here in Fort Smith that we've had so many jump in the race so quickly. The filing period is May 16th through June 5th. So we're still several weeks away, and the filings are starting to pile up. So it's interesting.
It's always interesting to see when you've had a citywide passionate issue come up months, you know, darn near a year before the next general election, whether there are coattails to that. You may remember years ago, Fayetteville had a tree sitting controversy, and that did seem
right.
Yeah, and that did actually seem to roll over in some of the races. And so it'll be interesting to see if this 1% prepared food tax, as much conversation developed last fall, whether that will have any effect for fall 2012.
Well, in my small brain, I've often used the analogy that it's like a fire. The hotter the fire, the longer you're going to have some embers burning at the base of it. And we had a pretty hot fire in terms of politics with the 1% prepared food tax and a few other issues, the televised board meetings. And I still think there's some burning embers under that wouldn't take much to get the fire started again.
All right. Michael Tilley is with thecitywire.com, which you can find online. It covers politics, business, culture, and so much more for the entire KUAF listening area. Michael, thank you very much.
Always good to talk to you.